This weekend is what we call Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow Memorial Day. And I know for a lot of folks, tomorrow is the first day of summer. It's a time to have your first picnic, go swimming. I'm hoping I'll find an invitation there for Fred and Brenda's pool when I get home. All these things. But we all say, well, yes, but what's that have to do with Memorial Day? I mean, this is a day we gather to remember those who laid their life down, who died. But folks, that's what they died for. They died to give you that freedom. You don't have to look over your back today. You don't have to watch out. You know, the America, we live in the freest world, our brother said earlier, the freest world there is. Freest nation, you know. And they died to preserve that for us. But we won't remember what they've done. Okay? We got to remember what it cost them. That way we'll preserve it ourselves, and we need to pass that on to the next generation. So this morning, just for a few minutes, we're going to look at memorials for a moment. We're going to look in the scriptures and look at a couple of things here today. And if you want to turn with me, Joshua chapter 4, we're going to be there just for a moment. But it's good to remember. It's good to pass on to the next generation what has taken place. You know, we see right now how much of our memorials and stuff they're trying to tear down. We've seen a lot of statues destroyed here in the last couple of years. And there are some statues that represent the awesome parts of our nation. Other thing it showed us where we made mistakes and we had to change. But that's awesome. You know, we look at our Constitution. We decided that all men was created equal. God made us all equal. But it took our nation about 100 years to realize that applied to the black man, the white man, the yellow man, the red man. You know? But we corrected that wrong. That's awesome. We remind ourselves of that. But in Joshua chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, the one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross again to the ark of the Lord your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you, so that when your children ask later, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" then you shall say to them, "Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel." And what I love about that, they were headed to the promised land. Amen? Remember, the Bible calls it the land of milk and honey? And a few years earlier, Joshua went in there, him and Caleb went in there, and they found these grapes and stuff the size of basketballs. I mean, humongous stuff, you know. So they already knew what was in there. They're going to cross the Jordan. But they're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. Everyone familiar with the Ark? You know, the God had made, and the priests had to carry it, and in certain ways had to carry it, and certain people would touch it, okay? That's where God come together, the mercy seat. Amen? So think of this. They are coming. You get this river in front of them, this Jordan, and they need to cross over there. On the other side, man, they're going to go to the land of milk and honey, man. Woo, woo. Nowadays, it'll be the days of the new Corvettes. So, you know what I'm saying? It'll be the penthouses and all that kind of stuff. Woo, we got to cross this river, okay? God brought them that far. They have them in the Ark of the Covenant. And they're carrying them. I'm doing this here because it had poles. Yeah, I know. My head, I see what I'm doing. Maybe not my head, okay? But look what they did. When they saw that river and that water, how deep it was, they said, "Hey, let's go to the other side." And they threw down the ark and they ran across the river and they swam across the river. And man, they're going to be the land of milk and honey. Did they do that? No. What did they do? They took God with them. Amen? Did he give them a promise? I'm going to take you to the land of milk and honey. Didn't he promise that to his forefathers? You know, 40 years earlier, so I'm going to take you to the land of milk and honey. That's his promise they had. And God brought them right up to the river, right up to the river. And went across this river. And they said, "Okay, God, we ain't going to cross without you. You brought me this far here. I'm not throwing you away." And what did they do? Boom. Jordan waters were stopped. It was dry land. And they crossed it. But once they got across, they said, let's go back now. We're going to set these stones here, and we're going to tell the next generation what God has done for us. A memorial to hand it down to generation to generation. Why? To tell them when God brings you to the promised land, don't leave him behind. Because they would have jumped in that river, that Jordan, and leave the ark on the other side. They could all drown and wiped out. It's a testimony to us. When God brings you to that thing you've been wanting, oh God, how many times, God, I need this, help me God, help me Lord. And we cry out to him, and he blesses us. And the next thing you know, we take God, we throw him aside. And we take off what he's given us, we leave him behind. And the next thing you know, we find ourselves drowning again. Whatever that was comes back around to us. So he wants us to learn from this, guys. Isn't that awesome? When God brings you to your milk and honey, man, to take him with you. And you think, well, how can I do it? How can I carry God on my shoulder? How can I carry God with me and cross this Jordan to this rough water? I can't bring both of us together. One of them ain't going to survive. I mean, if God brought you through it, to it, he's going to bring you through it, right? And so that's why he built this monument to remind us that today, to learn from those in the past. That's awesome. Now, you remember before that, some folks called the Pharaoh. You remember Egyptians? You remember Israelites? You remember the 10 plagues? Do you remember them crossing the Red Sea? Woo! Who brought them across that Red Sea? Who parted the Red Sea?
God.
Amen. God did that. Because they want to honor God. They cried out to God. Amen. They cried, and God delivered them and brought them across. And who's coming behind them? Those who had nothing to do with our God. Yeah, you're right. Your Pharaoh was. He's coming. Had nothing to do with our God. Amen. I can see them coming and crossing the Red Sea. And I can see where the ground's dry. They're thinking, hey, this is pretty cool. And this is Pharaoh and his dudes, okay? It's pretty cool. Yeah, they're getting sucked in like, hey, hey, we don't need this God of theirs, you know. We're going to do the same thing, you know. And what happened? They all drowned. The horse and rider thrown into the sea, the Bible says. Amen. Why? Because they weren't going with God, Yahweh, our God. And folks, there's a lot of reasons for us today to stay with God. A lot of reasons for God, not put him before us, put him on us, put him around us, surround us with him, and stay with him, okay? Because we might be walking, we might be in that Jordan right now, and the water's running up to our ankles, and, this ain't too bad. And the water's come up to your knees. It's not too bad. I don't really need all this. You know, Pat, you know what I'm saying? I'll do my own thing, you know? Some of them people are just too weird, you know? They take Jesus too far, you know? And the water's up to the waist. Yeah, that's no problem. And next thing you know, poof! Swallowed up by the Jordan. Because we forgot who brought us as far as we have. And today, I say, who delivered you from your sins?
Jesus.
Who paid the price for you? Who died on the cross for you? Oh, my, my, yes. So why would we ever want to leave him out of our life? Why would we ever want to leave out our decision? Why would we want to remove him from our vocal cords? We would not want to, would we? No, so we got to carry him with us. And I suggest for some of us, I think it would be very beneficial for us. You take this word of God, wherever you go, you carry it with you. It's going to help you. It's going to help keep your mouth shut. It's going to help you make decisions based upon the Word of God. And really, it's going to make you really quiet. Whoa, because you walk around your Bible, nobody's going to bother you. You know what I'm saying? Here come one of them Jesus freaks. But seriously, you on Walmart? Take it with you. Going for coffee today? You going to the family outing today? Bring it with you. You know, it's going to remind you who you get to represent. Who's with you. It'll help you recall. It'll help you. That you won't cross that Jordan without the Lord, you know? Because Satan's always waiting there to drown you, ain't he? He's always waiting. He wants you to slip your foot on that rock. Well, we got God gone before us. That rock ain't going to be slippery, is it? But man, when we decide, hey, listen, I know what they did. I know how he did it. That's back in the Old Testament. You know, I don't have no Jordans I'm going to cross. No, you don't have a Jordan you're going to cross today. You got the Atlantic Ocean you're going to cross. That's how deep it is today. You know, and the memorial say, listen, Take God with you. Put Him first and you'll cross over. Those stones remind me of some more stones we have right now. And those stones you'll find across the street here. Those stones you'll find at the memorial of the Korean War Memorial. You'll find the Vietnam Memorial over there, and you'll find the World War II Memorial. And that's what this weekend is about, is remembering what they did for us. And some of the names from our community that has died for our freedoms. Francis Appice, he died. He gave his life in battle to give you his freedom. George Babcock, Ralph Carr, Robert Doevenbarger, Arlie Marlett, Charles Ruble, Hubert Shorts, Howard Weingarth, Everett Woodsworth Jr. They gave all their tomorrows for you, for the day that you may sit here in freedom. Amen? World War II, we had Michael Cayley, Jerry Hesfeld, could be a hospital, I just can't read it very well, H-E-S, Douglas Kemp, Robert Korn, Donald Stein, Charlie K. Wright, and Chester A. Wright. They gave their life for you. They didn't come back from the war. They didn't come back and start a family. They didn't come back and farm. They didn't come back to the factory. They didn't come back and raise their children. They died believing in and protecting us that we may live today in freedom. Understand that freedom. They died to protect our republic. Amen?
Amen.
We are not a democracy. We are a republic. The republic is we live our lives according to how we want to live our life. Democracy is everybody's going to decide how I'm going to live my life. And folk is trying to get to that point now. So we got to remember what they gave. The folks that we won't, that will appreciate it. Well, think about that, guys. As our brother said earlier, may so thankful. So, and that's just from Coshocton. And there's more names from people in Coshocton, but that's all we have over there on the wall right now. We have the Vietnam. We had Michael Cayley. Jerry read them, did I? Yeah, Jerry Hosfeld. Okay. Charlie Wright. Michael Cayley. Okay, I had it on there twice. Laid their life down for us. Now, it's not to make us sad. Okay? It is realize what the price of freedom truly is. And then now that's in our hands. What are we doing with the freedom they preserved for us? Are we standing up for the freedom? Are we exercising our freedom? Amen. We're out here. We are. We have religious freedom. We come to worship the Lord. Amen. Woo wee. We are self-governed. Did we all vote this last time coming up?
Yes.
Yes. Amen. Because they died for that, and they died for you not to vote. Some of them 70 years ago, 80 years ago. Look, all those who died at Pearl Harbor. Now, because of the men and women and the sacrifices they made, we're not speaking Japanese today.
Amen.
And that's an awesome thing. We were attacked. So we just got to remember what the cost of freedom is. Yes, and this November, we thank our veterans. We thank our veterans all the time. But today, this weekend, is about those who gave the ultimate sacrifice that died for them. You know, there's a song that goes, "He's more than a name on the wall." And I won't sing it. It's a beautiful song. But sometimes we look at the names and we just, if we don't take a second, realize that's someone's son, someone's father maybe, someone's uncle, brother, that they gave their life, willing to lay it down to protect our freedom. So let's not forget that. Let's exercise our freedoms and stand up for our, every constitutional right. We have a right to peacefully assembly, the right for limited search and seizure, the right to bear arms, freedom of the press, freedom to be done right now. And the ball's in our part, in our court now, that we protect it, we stand up for it, and that make sure that we put people in power I believe in our Constitution, this nation, one nation under God. Amen? That's very important. But having memorials are very important. It makes us remember. And if we don't pass it on to the next generation, if we don't tell our children or our children's children, if we don't take the time to show them here or wherever you might find a memorial for our veterans who gave it all, then they're going to forget what it is. They think Monday is just the first day of summer or first day to picnic and stuff. Again, it's an awesome thing. You know, if you got hot dogs tomorrow, you're going to cook and stuff, celebrate Memorial Day. It's celebrating the lives of those who gave it all for us. And to me, I think that's an honor as we remember them and then we use the rights that He's given us. God has given us through our Constitution that He's established. To me, that's an awesome way to remember. Myself, if I gave my life, if I took my life in law enforcement, I wouldn't want you to sit around and be sad for me. I would want you to be exercising the freedom that you have. I want you to be out there enjoying yourself. But to remember that. One more place I want to take you today is going to be in Genesis, the 9th chapter. There's a guy named Noah. I know a lot of you guys here heard about Noah. Now Bob himself remembers Noah. But we're going to... I love you, buddy. But we got to remember. Now, we're going to catch up with Noah here where God has told him that the earth is terrible, man is terrible, his heart's broken, he even made mankind, that he's going to send a flood upon the earth, and mankind will be removed. But Noah and his family shall survive. Because they honor God. Now, during this time, it's about 120 years to build the ark. There were others who believed in God, but their time has come to pass. And the most famous one is Methuselah. That was Noah's grandfather, I believe. But Methuselah is Noah's grandfather. Yeah. He was 960-some years old, okay? And the last thing that he did upon the earth, before it flooded, Noah, he buried his grandfather. And Methuselah means when the floods come. So even his name was, hey, Methuselah. There was a warning right when the floods come. But when Noah tried to tell everybody, hey, listen, God's going to judge sin. It's coming. Turn to God. Turn away from your evil ways. And the Bible says, in those days when the flood came, but the day before, they were still getting married. They were still partying. They're still, sin was just running rampant. I mean, I think it's bad right now. It's probably nothing compared to what it was before the flood came. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah, how bad it was. Okay? And again, what brought Sodom and Gomorrah down? It wasn't just the sin of the people. It was those who governed them approved it. You know, there were four cities altogether, Sodom and Gomorrah and two other ones. And all the mayors, they all voted, yes, this perversion can run rampant. So it penetrated everything. Okay? And the day of Noah, we got the same thing. You know, they're embracing it. And look at us today. Look how close we are to Noah. Noah's days and Sodom and Gomorrah. We have those in power over us agreeing, yes, sin is awesome. Let's pass the laws and we'll take away any penalty from the sin. But man, we're still fighting. There's still a remnant, right? Amen. But that's how close it is. And God's not a respecter of persons. He'll do the same thing. But here we go. Noah's going to go through the flood. And here we're in chapter 9, verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. He just landed the ark. And fill the earth. The fear of you and the terror of you will be on every beast of the earth and on every bird of the sky. With everything that creeps on the ground and all the fish of the sea into your hand, they are given. He gave us a smorgasbord, folks. That's why we like pork belly so well. You know what I'm saying? Every moving thing that is alive shall be food for you. I give all to you. As I gave the green plant. Only you shall not eat flesh with its life. That is the life blood in it. Surely I will require your life blood from every beast. I will require it. And from every man, from every man's brother, I will require the life of man. Whoever sheds his man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. From the image of God, he made man. As for you, be fruitful and multiply and populate the earth abundantly and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Noah, and he said to his sons with him, saying, now behold, I myself do establish my covenant with you, and with your descendants after you, and with every living creature that is with you. the birds, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with you. Of all that comes out of the ark, even every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. Woo, what'd he say? He says, I establish my covenant with you, and all flesh shall never again be cut off by the water of the flood. Neither shall there again be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is a sign of the covenant which I am making between me and you, and every living creature that is with you. For all successive generations, I set my bow in the cloud, and that shall be a sign for a covenant between me and the earth. It shall come about when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow will be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And never again shall the water become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the cloud, then I will look upon it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. And God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. And we call that a what? We call that a rainbow. A rainbow is a memorial that God has established upon this earth in the clouds when it's raining, that He will never, ever flood the earth again to destroy all mankind. That's a promise He made to us, okay? So what He is saying is this, that rainbow that we have, that covenant we see in the sky all the time, that is God saying, listen, I'll judge sin. I've judged sin. I destroyed sin, but I'll make a promise to you that when I destroy sin again, it will have nothing to do with water. I'll never flood the earth. But folks, when you see that rainbow, it should remind us, man, remember how wicked the earth was? Remember God is true? And He does destroy sin and those who commit sin? But folks, we have taken that rainbow. We have taken God's covenant sign to us, and we have perverted it so bad. We have the gay pride movement. And if you want to sin, that's up to you, okay? But we've taken that rainbow that God showed to us, my covenant, that when I destroy sin, I will not flood you again. And we took it, and we put labels on our shirts and mark around with it, and we're finding it in the face of God. And people are getting sucked into that because they don't know. They don't know that flag, what it means. That's God's promise to us, and we have distorted that thing. They've grabbed that. And they're finding out, hey, guy. And again, a lot of them have no idea. That's been out so long. We have praise, and we have God's covenant sign with mankind. And we're finding it. Boom. Folks, if we don't speak the truth out of love, if we don't share it, no, wait, that's the covenant. That's God's sign that He made with us. Who created the rainbow? God did for us, for our sign. Remember when it was raining? It was raining a lot here lately, right? And you see that rainbow, remind you all, it's getting kind of deep, but He ain't going to flood the place. You know? But it reminds us, yes, God, I know. Yeah, I know You judge sin. And the day is coming, He's going to do it again. We've even taken that, and don't throw stuff at me, folks. We've taken that rainbow, and we call it a rainbow bridge when our dogs die. Oh, they crossed over that rainbow bridge. Man, I love my dogs. And I know when I read in the scriptures, it says He rescued man and beast. Well, I have every reason to believe my dogs are in heaven. Amen? No cats, but the dogs. You know? And again, I'm not getting down on anybody that says it. I'm just saying that look how we kind of water it down. You know, and away. We've taken angels, powerful angels. 12, 15 feet roaring, angels, ministering angels. And we reduce them down to toilet paper. I hate to say it. At home, I have angel soft toilet paper.
Yeah.
Amen? But look what we've done. We watered it down. How often can we take things and change it, and then the next generation has no idea? We have to share the truth. Now, there's not one sin that God will not forgive us of, right? If we repent from it and turn away from it, not one sin that God will not strengthen us. If we want out of it, He'll give us the strength and hang on to Him. And whew, if you're serious about it, He'll give you the power to overcome that sin. But folks, the days are short. And His coming is close. And the Scripture says that they will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. Amen? So is the truth living inside of you? Amen? I hope it is. Okay. Do you know the truth? The next question would be, do we love as God's told us to love? Do we love one another? Do we love our neighbors? Do we love our enemies? Do we love them enough to share the truth? If we can get to the point, well, listen, I'm not getting involved. I'm not going to say a thing. They'll get mad at me. Well, number one, it depends on how you approach people, you know. That's one thing. But out of love, hey, how can I pray for you? Well, do you know what you're doing? God says this, you know, I just want to share it with you, you know. Let me tell you some of my sins I used to be involved in, and God set me free from it. Again, being led by the Holy Spirit, but we can't allow these things to be watered down because it means nothing. You know, I've got a cross I wear. Okay? This isn't jewelry. This is remind me daily. It helps me keep my mouth shut. Amen? Sometimes I should wrap around my mouth like this, okay? But remind me, it says, for me to pick up my cross daily and follow Him. Otherwise, die to my selfish needs. To put other people first. To be thick-skinned. To be like the Master. And we even take the cross and water it down to jewelry. I mean, you see people wearing the cross, and you see them even on stage, and the vulgarity is coming out of their mouth. And the things that they do with it. It means nothing. We allow it to be watered down. But monuments, memorials, are very important to share with one another. And when Jesus says in John 14, especially 14:6, when He says that, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. But no one comes to the Father except through me. Through receiving Him, repenting from our sins, and following Him, folks. No matter how much you like me, how much you love me, if I decide I'm going to stay in sin, you cannot get me into heaven. Understand that? You can share with me. You can show me. But then what can you do for me? Continue to pray for me. Pray to whatever's in my life that God will reveal it. Bind Satan and his lies that wrap people up into it. It's easy to fall in sin. Right? Satan has a way of tricking you into it. Convincing you. I mean, we are in a spiritual battle. There's spirits out there all the time coming against you. Trying to talk you into doing this. Give you every reason in the world to do what God said not to do. Because, well, you know, He don't quite understand your situation. You know, God, when those Ten Commandments come down, it was different then, you know. I mean, no one wears the beards like Moses anymore, do they? They'll try to come in and water things. Well, I guess somebody does wear them. Charlie does, okay. But it's just, again, to love one another, but folks, to make sure people understand what God has said and that He's coming soon. We have brothers before us that came before us. I want to share one with you. This gospel that you hold, this memorial, if you want to say, the Bible is the Holy Bible. It's the written books of God. And this is called the Book of the Martyrs. Fox's Book of Martyrs. Brothers and sisters, like us, who served the Master, who put Jesus first before everything. Those say, man, it's Jesus and nothing else, okay? That's what He's coming back for, guys. Understand that? This rapture of the church we talk about, He's coming back for His people. He's coming back for those who are sold out. He is coming back for those, man, they're being persecuted, they're being fun of, and people are turning their backs on because they stand up for Jesus, and it's all about Jesus. There's no compromise. You know, that's the way our life, that's who's going to come and rescue us. Okay? It's kind of like You're looking at a pool right now, pool water. Okay, we're at Fred and Brenda's. Anyway, you're out there, and I'm floating on this floating device. What do you call them things? Water beds or something? A floaty. I'm on a floaty. Ah, okay. Oh, I got it made. I got a war in the world. And here comes Chuck Meyer. He jumps in. He's flopping around beside me. Okay. And here comes Fred. Who's going to save? The one who's flopping, or the one that's the flopper, right? I would say you're the flopper, Chuck. Okay. Well, see, but that's who we are. As a servant of the Most High, we become, I'm going to say, flopper. We are the one that, man, we're struggling because we are sharing the word and people are persecuting us. We're losing things. We're losing our homes. We may be losing our jobs. Who knows what we're going to be going through. But we love Jesus so much that He called us to share the gospel and to live for Him that we care about other people more than ourselves. What does He say? He has trumpet sound. And those who died believing in the Master be raised up. And those of us today who are serving Him, putting Him first, boom! We're going to be out of here. Gone to our rest, our reward. But folks, I ask you today, if He took you out right now, would you notice the difference? If He took you out of this world right now from what you've been doing and take you to the heaven, we would say, oh man, this is nice. Or would we say, oh man, my cushion at home was a lot softer than this chair in heaven. Many have we spent more time on the chair at home than have serving the Lord. Now you can serve the Lord from your chair. Don't throw your chairs away. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying that He is calling us. Those who follow Him. Those who have the Spirit of the living God in us. He's calling us like, man, Katie, bar the door, hold the door, whatever it is. That, man, we are down to that last time. And the stuff that you might be going through, the people who's turned their backs on you, love them. They don't know. But when the church is removed from here, how many of us gather here and around the other churches will still be here? I don't know. But I'm just saying that God has given us this. I call it a memorial, but the Holy Bible to show us what has taken place. Out of love, it shows us our sins. Amen? Amen. Then He gives us the power to overcome the sins, to follow Him. And the more we follow Him, the less we're going to sin. But the thing it is, to follow Him. But here, I want to share one here. This is Simon. I think people have heard about Simon. But he loved the Lord. Simon the Zealot, they called him. So he was kind of like a rebel. Kind of like us, I guess, maybe. They're starting to call Christians, you know, you guys are terrorists. You know that, don't you? Starting to call you terrorists and rebels and stuff like that because they say we're going against the flow, but we are the flow. Jesus flows to us, and they're trying to change the way the water runs. And so, it's okay to be different. Well, Simon loved the Lord so much. He knew the truth. And he really believed it's the truth that will set people free. He was set free. And man, if we're here today, born again, He'll set us free from anything. You got an addiction, He'll set you free from it. Yeah. Understand that? If you got anything wrong, He will set you free from it as you cry out to Him. Woo! Now, if you want to entertain it, if you're not convicted of that sin, well, He's still there with you, but He's waiting for you to give it to Him. You know, sometimes we say, Lord, just take this from me. He said, no, give it to me. You know? I mean, I can come take your wallet, right? Then you come take it back. Why? Because it's still yours, right? That should be an illustration. Who's got the most money? Give me a farmer. They got the most of the money here now. But if I come and take your wallet from you, boom, you have every right to come back and take it from me, right? Because it belongs to you. But I say, hey, who wants to give me the wallet this morning? Charlie, give me your wallet.
He's braver than me.
Thank you. That's what I call a preacher's wallet, nothing that. So I ask you this. Who owns this wallet?
Charlie.
I've got 40 people in here, and you're all lying. Who owns this wallet? I do. Charlie gave it to me. He relinquished all control. And when, once he gave it to me, it's mine. I have the right to pass things out here. But he gave it to me. He has no expectation of getting it back. But Charlie come to me. Say, I want my wallet back. Charlie. Indian giver. You got an Indian up there, watch out. But you can come to me and say, I want this back. Charlie, you gave it to me. You don't want it back. I want it back. We had the argument going on. Finally said, listen, I want my wallet back. All right, it's yours. But see, the difference is, if I took it from him, he had every right to have it back. When he gave it to me, it's mine. Now, if he wants to fight me enough for it, you got it back. So, in your life today, when you say, God, take this from me, he said, no, you give it to me. When you acknowledge that sin in your life and say, God, I don't want to do it anymore. Here, I give it to you. Take it from me. I surrender it to you. Now, when you try to sin again, that Holy Spirit will say, listen, you surrendered that. You gave it to me. And you say, well, I know I did, but I want it back. No, you don't want it back. Christian hasn't changed a bit. It still comes to still kill and destroy. The wages of sin is still death, separation from God. You don't want it back. Yes, I do! I want it back! You got a free will. We have a habit of saying, God, come through my life. Clean me out, Lord. Just clean me out of anything that's not of you. He said, no. My word, my spirit will show you what's in you that's not of me. You give it to me. Well, Sister Gail, awesome job cleaning. You need a house clean car, okay? I could call up and say, Gail, I need your service at my house. She could show up. Our house, sorry, honey. Our house, sorry. I'm the reason why it needs clean, I know. Hey, Gail, listen, come home. We need your services. So he shows up. Hey, thanks, Gail. We'll be back, in half a day. We come back, and Gail's still sitting on the front porch. Walk in the house. The issues aren't done. Gail, why is nothing done? We invited you. Yeah, but you didn't tell me what to clean. Oh, well, I wanted you to do that. Well, you got to tell me. Same way in our life. We got to tell God. He'll convict you of that sin. You go say, I'm tired of it. I'm going to give it to you. He'll give you the strength to overcome it if you want to. Amen? If you truly want to. But man, that's where you got to watch out. Because who you're hanging around with, who you're talking with, who's influencing your life, they got a way of bringing you right back where you come from. You're going to hear their voices more than hearing the Word of God because you deal know more with them than you do God. When out of the sin, surrender to God and get His Word and don't look back. Don't compromise. Don't do anything. And share it with them. Simon is that way. Simon, he died. Our brother, who loved the Lord, who served him. It says here, I won't read the whole story, but later we pick up Simon back in the Middle East, doing missionary work north and east from Jerusalem with Jude, taking the gospel as far as Persia. Long-standing tradition had both apostles suffering martyrdom about the same time. And our brother Simon, the one who loved the Lord, would not turn his back on Jesus. They sawed him in half while he was alive. Brother Peter, they crucified him. He was upside down. He wasn't worthy to be crucified as a master. They say Brother Peter hung there for 3 or 4 days, dying. And what was he doing? He was witnessing to those who was killing him. And that's how much Jesus was part of their life. They knew the truth. Again, look at those who came before us. Just like those who preserved our freedoms here, who gave up their life. These are the ones before us that gave up their life. For you and I today could stand here and still have the truth in our hands. And what are we going to do with it? I pray none of them here is going to be sawed in half, be turned upside down, crucified. Nathaniel, Bartholomew, he was flayed alive for Jesus. But I'm showing you what it cost. And we know what it cost the Master, right? And he said for us to do the same thing. Otherwise, to put him first, to put the love for others first. And remember, that's what he called us to do. And like the song you sang earlier, I run through a hoop and jump over a wall. We can't do none of that. That's that right?
A troop.
I said a hoop. Okay. I watched Madagascar last night. It was about the circus. Yeah, myself. But we can't do this thing on our own. It's only of Jesus. And he's here to help us do that, you know. Many more brothers and sisters have passed away, gave their life up, modern day, and they're still doing it. You know, we have a Sarah, she's over in Guatemala, did I say that right? You know, she learned a brand new language just to be able to witness to people, you know. Now, I haven't been called to Guatemala, and you guys haven't either, it wouldn't be here. But God has called us to be where we're at. Wherever you're at, just love the Lord and put him first. And protect your territory, you know. When Joshua says, for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Let that be established in your household. Amen. If it's your house, don't let the things of the world take over. I know you might do that in your house, but man, this house has been dedicated to the Lord. And so please, refrain from that in my house. Oh, thank you. And they can't respect me for that. Say, well, you think you're better than I am? No. I've just been redeemed. I give this property to the Lord. And so I just protect that for him. And people should understand that. They don't. That's okay. Who's going to please? God or man? It has to be God, right? Should be man. Amen. But anyway, enjoy the weekend. Just remember those who came before us. Honor them by celebrating your freedoms that you have. And honor the Lord by celebrating the truth that's within you. And there's nothing that God will not deliver you from if you give it to him. He'll give you the strength to overcome that. And folks, it can be any sin. You know, I mentioned the flag, the rainbow and stuff. It's not picking on any certain people. Sin is sin. Fornicating is sin. Gossiping sin. Lying is sin. There's a bunch of them. I mean, we have all kinds of flags out they want to. But he's just saying that those who practice such things, continue in these things, will not see the kingdom of God. So resist the devil. Call upon the Lord and let him rescue you from whatever you're involved with. Amen? Amen. Any questions before I close out? Okay, well, Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. God, we do thank you for the men and women, those in the physical area and the spiritual areas of our life. We thank you for the soldiers who laid down their life for us. And we thank you for the soldiers of the cross who laid down their life serving the Lord and passing the truth on down the generation to generation. So may we pick up the truth and continue to share that to those you bring into our life, Father. But above all, may we continue to strengthen ourselves here together as this assembly to watch out for one another, encourage one another. If someone stumbles, help that person up and continue on. And God, until we hear that trumpet sound, Father, and when you return, may you find faith. May you find those loving you and crying out to you to bring you the glory in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.